Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all other members who are attending this service through the internet, and GCN viewers. Revelation chapter 17 expands on the beast that had ruled over the earth during the 7-year Great Tribulation and the woman with the actual control over the beast. The beast refers directly to the unified government and the woman to Lucifer. But in a larger sense, the beast does not refer to the unified government alone. The computer system used by the unified government as its instrument can also be referred to as the beast. By the same token, the woman does not refer only to Lucifer, but also to the heads of the forces of the Antichrist under Lucifer's control. The Apostle John is now learning the identity of this beast and the woman. Nothing could stop his astonishment. John realized once again that God had allowed and given the evil spirits the authority to accomplish the plan of human cultivation, and that everything had been accomplished precisely according to God's providence. People who do not know God's providence and justice are quick to say, as they see the world around them, "Where is justice? Isn't it the wicked who actually thrive?" But Psalms 37, 1 and 2 remind us, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward the wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." Evildoers and wrongdoers seem to prosper, but their end is anything but prosperity. Their prosperity lasts only for a while. They may appear to prosper while in this world, but they will ultimately be subject to punishment in the everlasting realm for what they have done. It is the same with the forces of darkness spearheaded by Lucifer. They have been given the authority to rule over darkness during the history of the human cultivation. So during that period, they do their work as if they hold absolute control. But their authority is limited to darkness, and it can be wielded only through people walking in darkness. And their authority is valid only during the time which God has permitted. When the time is up, they will also pay the price of what they have done. Their once seemingly total and infinite control over the world fades away, and they will face judgment of God's strict justice. The Apostle John is witnessing these events taking place. When he saw God's providence being accomplished precisely according to God's justice, John couldn't contain his astonishment. Of course, the Apostle John knew very well that God was omniscient and God was in charge of everything. Still, he was reminded yet again of God's such attributes as he was witnessing the events unfolding during the 7-year Great Tribulation. And he was amazed by God's mysterious providence and plan manifested and executed for the purpose of the human cultivation. That's why John wrote in Revelation 17:6 that he wondered greatly. God continues explaining through the angel the things that will still come to pass. Revelation 17:8 says, "The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction, and those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come." I explained this briefly in the last session. When the time allowed for the evil spirit comes to an end, the 7-year great tribulation will also come to an end on the earth. The unified government will collapse, and the evil spirits which have ruled over the earth will be expelled and ultimately thrown into the abyss. The millennium kingdom will begin on the earth. The unified government that ruled over the world and the evil spirits that controlled it used to be, but are now no more. But the evil spirits thrown into the abyss will be set free once again towards the end of the millennium kingdom. And they will tempt people who have survived the millennium kingdom and lead many of them to destruction. This is explained in greater detail towards the end of Revelation. The evil spirits will not only go the way of destruction, but they will also tempt countless people once more and lead them to eternal destruction. When things do not go their way, evildoers do their utmost to bring other people down with them. That's what the enemy devil and Satan do. These acts of the enemy devil and Satan will go on until the end. They tempted Adam and Eve, caused them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and have led a myriad of people to destruction since then. During the 7-year great tribulation and the last moments of the millennium kingdom, just before the great white throne judgment, the enemy devil and Satan tempt people. Those whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast. Means countless unsaved people who have not received salvation will fall to the temptation of the enemy devil and Satan. Since the foundation of the world, the enemy devil and Satan have tempted people in various ways. If you love the world and do not cut ties with it, you will be tempted in an instant. You will then lose grace and your faith will grow weak. You will lose faith. You have to discern well what faith is. Faith rooted in the flesh can change at any time because that faith is not yet perfect and whole. Only after you have cut off everything that is worldly, abstained from every form of evil, and entered spirit, could you be said to have received salvation. If not, even if you have been elected a mission or a small group or district leader through your faithfulness and service at the church, you don't know when you will be tempted. Suppose you have been tempted and been committing sins. There's a line God has drawn, and once you cross that line because of your sinning, you must know there is no salvation for you. You will never be given the spirit of repentance. When you go home today, read Hebrews chapter 6 and 10 again. It's the same as crucifying to yourself the Lord and putting Him to open shame again. It's different from someone with no faith. If you profess to have faith but crucify to yourself our Lord again, keep committing sins even as you know that that is the path to destruction and end up crossing the line that God has drawn, God will have no choice but to turn His face away from you, and there is no way to prevent the even enemy devil and Satan from making accusations against you. That is justice. Because of that, there are so many people going down the path to death today. The unified government during the 7-year great tribulation alone is not the only beast that has appeared in the world. The enemy devil and Satan have appeared as various beasts at different points in history. And the beasts do not literally signify any animal-like beings. The beasts refer to all forces that play the role of servants of the enemy devil and Satan, hostile to God. The beasts, the servants of the enemy devil and Satan, have opposed God, challenged God's kingdom, and persecuted and killed His people. They have done such evil things. Still, people will fall into the temptation of the beast when they see the beast, because the beasts are always plausible in their outward appearance. People will fall into temptation on its account. They will actually be greatly surprised, saying, "Amazing, wonderful," and fall into their schemes and go to destruction. That's why 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15 warn us. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So we must discern everything by the truth and examine it by its fruit. In Matthew 7, 19 through 20, Jesus tells us a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Have you ever seen a good tree yielding bad fruit? Does an apple tree bear bad fruit? A grapevine bears grapes? It does not bear bad fruit. Fruit trees bear mouth-watering fruit, whether it's a pear, a persimmon, or a sweet persimmon tree. Each tree bears its corresponding fruit. Bitter persimmon trees yield bitter persimmons, and they can be decocted, and once they are ripe, you have soft, delicious persimmons. No good trees can ever bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Common sense tells us that no bad tree produces beautiful fruit. We all know this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's why people who have done the works of the flesh will end up being forsaken. Why? Because they are very bad trees when likened them to trees that are the worst. So then you will know them by their fruits. Revelation 17, 9-10 emphasizes that we must discern everything by the truth and not fall into temptation. The two verses explain to us, once again, the identity of the beast that will rise in the future. Revelation 17, 9-10, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. I said earlier, the beasts have appeared in different forms at different points in history. There were times when the beasts appeared in the form of nations or empires and opposed God and persecuted the people of Israel. Namely, there are the empires of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media and Persia, Macedonia, and Rome. Let's count again. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media and Persia, Macedonia, and Rome. How many are there? We've counted six. The unified government that will rise during the Great Tribulation brings the total to seven. The background and structure of each are different, but Lucifer has been, is, and will be behind it. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, refer to the prominent forces under Lucifer's control. At the time of the Apostle John, some forces had already risen and fallen. Others were present at the time, and still others rise in the future. The force that will rise in the future is the unified government, which rules over the world for a little while. As written here, they rule the world only for a little while. It will rule over the world for a short time, lasting only 7 years. Here is the mind which has wisdom means that you must understand such providence of God and must not be tempted. Without wisdom, you will fall into the beast's temptation and go the way of destruction. At different points throughout history, God used His people in revealing His will and wisdom time and again. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing the Lord. Isn't it easy? Don't you find fearing of the Lord easy? Fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We fear God by abstaining from every form of evil and hating even an image or trace of evil. Once you rid yourself of evil from the heart, you'll be able to rid the evil in your mind as well. Once you've thrown away all evil, you'll exclude and show only goodness. We've learned about wisdom. If you fear God, you abstain from every form of evil. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God is goodness itself. Once you have abstained from every form of evil and rid yourself of all untruths, your heart will be transformed by goodness, and you'll be able to take hold of the heart of our Lord. Everything you see and hear will be of goodness. You'll not harbor evil thoughts or commit any evil deeds. The end of evil is destruction. Evil is the product of the enemy devil. Goodness cannot be overcome by the enemy devil. The enemy devil may have a hand in it for a while, but in the end, it will lose. Good always prevails. For that reason, Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Our clear knowledge of God and the Lord is the source of understanding. God always says the fear of the Lord, God is beginning of wisdom. But many have failed to gain wisdom because they have not feared God. They fell into temptation of the beast, opposed God, lived in sin and evil, and ultimately had no other choice but go down the path of destruction. This will continue until the last moment of 7-year Great Tribulation. God is recorded in the Bible in great detail everything that will transpire leading up to the last moment of the 7-year Great Tribulation. In Revelation 17:9 and the following verses is the detailed account of the events to take place in the last moments of the tribulation. From a historical standpoint, the verses elaborate on the forces of the beast that have been at different stages in history. They also speak of the end of the unified government and the forces of the Antichrist, both of which will exist during the 7-year Great Tribulation. The phrase, five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, explains how the unified government will crumble. Five have fallen. Shall we count? 2,000 years ago, when John was writing down what he saw, he wrote that five have fallen. By then, the empires of Egypt, Assyria, Media and Persia, and Macedonia had already risen and fallen. One is, what does that mean? What empire was still around? At the time John was writing, the Roman Empire was still in existence. That's why John wrote, five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. The last, the other, is the one still to come during the 7-year Great Tribulation. As the 7-year Great Tribulation nears its end, most of the forces of the unified government will have been destroyed. But some forces will have survived and still remain. Those people will survive on the earth even during the Millennium Kingdom. During that time, evil spirits, including Lucifer, will not be able to do their work because they are confined in the abyss. That's why the wicked people who had constituted the unified government will no longer demonstrate their evil. Yet, their evil will their evil will remain dormant within them. It's merely that their evil attributes are not displayed on the outside. The evil spirits, including Lucifer, are released once again in the closing moments of the Millennium Kingdom and cause those people to take the lead in standing against God. Even as the 7-year Great Tribulation ends, the unified government collapses and the Millennial Kingdom begins, the forces of the Antichrist will be kept alive. After we have received the salvation and partaken in the 7-year wedding banquet while the world suffers from the 7 years of Great Tribulation, we return to the earth and reign like kings and queens during the Millennium Kingdom. And people in flesh want to get married and be given away in marriage and keep giving birth in an age in which there will be no death. As they pro-life rate, the earth will be filled with people once again. While God's children who have received salvation will have been transformed into spiritual bodies, fleshly people will have not. They will not yet have been transformed. So we will be preaching the gospel to them diligently. We'll teach them that Jesus is the Messiah, and there are heaven and hell, the truth, and that when the time comes, the enemy devil will be released and tempt the people in an effort to bring them to hell. But the Bible says many people will be tempted nonetheless. In other words, they will return to the path of death. Because no force of darkness can carry out its work during the Millennium Kingdom, evil attributes will be suppressed. But when God allows, a time will come when the evil within them will be instigated. The most prominent of the forces of the Antichrist during the Millennium Kingdom is a religious faction. Revelation 17:11 says, "The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction." The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth refers to the religious faction that served as the psychological foundation for the forces of the Antichrist. Of course, this religious faction had allied with the unified government and constituted the foundation of the Antichrist. The beast is one of the seven, signifies the beast is essentially one with the unified government ruling over the world during the 7-year Great Tribulation. The reason this religious faction is also an eighth is because it will have played a significant part in the forces of the Antichrist. Brothers and sisters, the Bible speaks many times of the identity of the Antichrist. On the identity of the Antichrist, the 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. The Antichrist is the enemy of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist opposes our Lord Jesus Christ. Since it will deny Jesus Christ being the Messiah, it stands against Jesus Christ. And the heretics are the Antichrist and its forces. The 1 John 4:3 also says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." Any spirit that acknowledges Jesus, that does not confess Jesus is our Savior, that denies that Jesus is the Messiah, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Again, the spirit of the Antichrist. Read. Do Jehovah's Witnesses confess Jesus as the Messiah? No, they don't. Of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. The 2 John 1:7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. In short, people who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh are heretics. They deny the message of salvation, the message of the cross. Jesus was born in this world in the same way each of us has been born. The physical features included two eyes, one nose, two ears, a mouth, every bone and flesh, identical to each of us. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born. And you all know the reason why. From the message of the cross, you have learned why He had to have been born that way. In order to become our Messiah and redeem us from our sins, He could not have been born a descendant of Adam, but was instead conceived by the Holy Spirit. At the same time, becoming the Messiah required that Jesus be born a man. He was born a man, no different in physical attributes from you or me. Why? Since Adam the man had sinned, the one who was to redeem us from our sins also needed to be a man. For that reason, God's only begotten Son was born in this world in the flesh. The sins of men could only be atoned by a man. It could not be done by an animal or beast. The enemy devil redeem us from our sins. Good angels redeem us from our sins. Since Adam the man committed a sin and went down the path of death, all his descendants were placed on the same path as well. For that very reason, the one who was to redeem us also needs to be a man. That's why the Son of God had to be born in this world in flesh. But since all descendants of Adam have been and are sinners, and not one of them could become our Savior, for that reason, Jesus was born after having been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Again, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Such people are heretics. If you ask people busy accusing a church or a pastor for the definition of heresy, despite what the Bible clearly says, they cannot give an answer. They keep accusing heresy, heresy, but when asked for the definition, they are mum. They ought to explain it just as we've read. The definition of heresy is this: denying that Jesus came into this world in flesh, denying God and His Son, and denying that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the definition of heresy. As recorded above, the Antichrist refers to those who deny the Father God and the Son Jesus Christ, and those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. The Antichrist is anyone or force that stands opposed to the Christ, our Messiah, or in other words, the enemy devil or a people who belong to the enemy devil. The forces of the Antichrist that play this role during the seven-year Great Tribulation are the religious faction within the unified government. Indications have been there from a long time ago. Even though the book of Acts tells us that there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, other religions have a claim to have salvation as well. The Bible could not be clearer that there is no other name than the name of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Still, the unified government will call for and try to bring together all religions in the name and for the sake of peace. God has strictly forbidden this in the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament as well. Mommy Church must never be tempted. No matter what kind of persecution we may face, we must stand on the rock and never be tempted. The unified government controls and rules over the entire world and persecutes and kills Christians. Wasn't that the same during the times of Jesus? So who persecuted Jesus? It was the very people who claimed to know the Lord God, the self-proclaimed people of God's elect, the high priest, the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees who claimed to know the law of Moses better than anyone, who ended up arresting and crucifying Jesus. They persecuted him, claiming that Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons, had instigated him, that he had gone mad, or that he was the deceiver. It's the same today. As they witness the works of God, the signs and wonders manifested, they ought to learn to acknowledge, kneel, and humble themselves. But people are all the more eager to persecute and have men of God killed. How foolish is their effort? Is that effort successful? It is the unified government that seemingly opposes God and persecutes Christians. But it is a religious faction within the unified government that creates the environment and provides the motives. This religious faction also appears to seek God and the Lord, but they will corrupt the truth in a very crafty manner and bring the bite to persecute those who believe in God and the Lord. For example, they will corrupt the truth by saying, "The truth is anywhere. It is the will of the Lord to cooperate with those who follow other religions and embrace them. All religions must come together for the pursuit of peace." At the same time, they will condemn as being impure people who only follow the Lord and refuse to compromise with anything in the world. They will persecute true Christians and tempt the world. They will drive many Christians to deny the Lord, bow before idols, and compromise with the world. This is the hidden identity and agenda of the Antichrist. The religious faction and its head are the main driving force behind this task. The spiritual head of the beast is a religious faction, and it will become the head of all other factions within the unified government. But this eighth king will ultimately face destruction as well. Revelation 17, 20, 12, and 13, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. The unified government will be composed of many nations. Each nation in and of itself has no power to rule over the whole world. But as many nations come together for one purpose, they have the power to act and rule as one. Each nation actively supports the forces of the Antichrist that are at the heart of the unified government. Each country believes doing so is the only way for its survival, so it helps the unified government with every means available. The one same purpose, which is survival through ruling over the world in union, compels each nation to support the unified government with all its wealth, power, and might. Because the nations will have fully supported the unified government, they receive great authority and freely wield their influence during the seven-year Great Tribulation. But their authority and power are short-lived. Their power fades when the seven-year Great Tribulation ends. Revelation 17:14 says, "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." The goal of the forces of the Antichrist with the beast at the center is to oppose God and the Lord. They are used as instruments by Lucifer and the evil spirits to oppose God and the Lord. It does not mean that they can wage war directly against the Lord. So they persecute people who believe in the Lord and attempt to wage war against the Lord who is the Lamb. But they can never prevail over the Lord. When the time allowed for the evil spirits comes to a close, the forces of the Antichrist collapse, and the evil spirits, including Lucifer, are confined into the abyss. But the forces of the Antichrist will continue persecuting believers all the way to the very end. As a result of this persecution, a great number of people among the believers in the Lord end up denying the Lord. But there are some believers who endure persecution to the end and overcome it. Revelation 17:14 declares, "Those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful." People who are with the Lord will overcome. Now, who are the people siding with the Lord? First, they are the called. They have been chosen and have entered into the Lord in obedience to His calling. But no matter how many times the Lord calls, unless the person obeys and enters, it amounts to nothing. Among those who fall into the 7-year great tribulation but repent and turn away later are people who will have obeyed the Lord's calling to the end. They overcome persecution and torment at all costs and find victory in reaching salvation. While the Holy Spirit will have been taken away, God gives them grace, His grace to the end. Second, they are the chosen. According to God's will, they have been specifically chosen to be used in His instruments. For example, the 144,000 bond servants belong to the chosen. Because God saw the depths of their heart, chose, and called them, they walked the way of martyrdom and reached salvation and glory. They achieve salvation through martyrdom and will be qualified to reach the place of eternal glory. They are on a different level than those who are called and died martyr's death. Third, they are the faithful. They are those who are neither sly, nor forced, nor evil, nor unrighteous. They did not believe in the Lord as they did not know the Lord or know the truth. But since learning the truth, they became completely different people. Because their hearts were truthful, from the moment they came to know the truth, they protected it even at the risk of losing their lives. The two witnesses are an example. Of course, the two witnesses knew and believed in the Lord but remained on the earth for the special task of God. Since their hearts are faithful, they fulfill their God-given tasks to the end. This despite any kind of difficulties and persecution. Their burden to fulfill the tasks is so great that its scope is simply unfathomable for ordinary people. At their heart for the Lord, as their heart for the Lord remains truthful, however, they carry out their task to the end and reach glorious positions in heaven. They'll be subject to inexplicable persecution. We'll continue delving into the following passage reading verses in the next lecture. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Revelation series is now reaching the end of the 7-year Great Tribulation. What do you feel when you hear the messages about the end time at each session? You must think and say to yourself, I will be more alert. I will be more faithful. I will enter the level of Spirit and Holy Spirit more quickly. You must never go easy on yourself because the seemingly redundant flow of things. Even when the messages of similar contents are repeated, you must use each message to solidify your heart even more. If you find something to repent of, do it without delay. How much is Father God refining you? He refines you over and over again, and in the end, He makes you wheat. Chaff is of no use. If you have something to resolve and throw away, do it now. According to each person's level of faith, some of you will do it because you're afraid of the 7-year great tribulation and so that you will not remain on the earth. But you must set a goal much higher and greater than that. How closely have the messages on the 7-year wedding banquet, the millennium kingdom, and the eternal kingdom of heaven reached your heart? That day is fast approaching. On the day our Lord comes to take us back, are you going to receive Him with joy and ecstasy? I will do my utmost in leading you until that day. I ask all of you not to fall behind, but follow me to the end. If I could, I would very much like to take each of you to heaven, even with a bridle on your neck and bit in your mouth, so that none of you will fall behind. May this desire of mine be fulfilled, and all of you stand before our Bridegroom Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord, I bless.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.